Hello, welcome to the Monday, October 5th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Symantec is reporting about yet another router botnet. However, this botnet is a bit different in that it actually protects vulnerable routers after exploiting them. Specifically, the bot will disable the telnet service. As the user then attempts to log in, the user will then be told that the telnet server has been disabled and will be asked to change the administrator password as well as to update the firmware. The idea of beneficial malware like this has often been discussed. I remember back sort of in the Code Red times, maybe dealt with worms. There were a couple of beneficial worms that went around and attempted similar things, but usually that idea is rejected as, well, first of all, it's somewhat illegal and also dangerous to secure a stranger's device where you don't necessarily know what it does and what its intent is. Vulnerable routers, on the other hand, also pose a notorious danger to network stability. We often see them used as DDoS agents. And it's also pretty hard to get people to actually secure them by either setting strong passwords or updating firmware. This bot is written in Perl. It actually comes with its own Perl interpreter, and they deliver the right Perl interpreter for whatever architecture, whatever CPU the particular device runs. Symantec named the bot YFatch, and they also spotted versions of this that attack DVR. So remember, we talked about this a year or so ago, where we had a lot of DVRs with open telnet servers and weak default passwords. And Microsoft researchers Greg Costello and Patrick Longa have published a new crypto library, 4Q, which is implementing a new elliptic curve cryptography algorithm. Elliptic curve cryptography has received a lot of attention as it implements public key cryptography more efficiently than non-elliptic curve cryptography, meaning that at the same strength, you need a shorter key with elliptic key cryptography than without. However, like many new crypto algorithms, researchers are skeptical if Microsoft's claims of providing a faster but as secure algorithm as current elliptic curve functions is true. They claim that in particular with current Intel CPUs, this algorithm is significantly faster. At this point, they published a paper about it. They published the source code implementing the particular algorithm. I'm not aware of any plans to implement the function in any future Microsoft products. At this point, this appears to be more sort of as a research project. And I think it was last week, T-Mobile announced that Experian, which provided credit check services for T-Mobile, was compromised and with that lost millions of T-Mobile customers' data. Now, T-Mobile, as common in these cases, offered free credit monitoring to the victims, but received some criticism for using Experian, the company that was actually responsible for losing the data in the first place. Now, in response to this particular criticism against Experian, T-Mobile now switched its policy, and with that, victims are being offered to use a service provided by TransUnion, which is a competitor of Experian. Not really clear how the exact arrangement here is, because apparently it was Experian's fault, not T-Mobile's fault, that the data was lost. So really it would be up to Experian for paying for these monitoring services, which may have been the reason that they used Experian in the first place. In other breach news, online brokerage Scottrade notified customers that its servers were breached sometime between late 2013 and early 2014. So that's over a year ago. Now, Scottrade appears to be rather confident that no social security numbers, passwords, or email addresses were leaked, even though they were located on the affected servers. Instead, only mailing addresses were taken in this particular breach. Of course, mailing addresses are still of some value if you're thinking about follow-on attacks, social engineering attacks, and the like. So with that, not really sure exactly what the attacker tries to plan with this data. And then in closing, October is again Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I'll publish a couple of resources probably sometime Monday. We're not sort of planning a specific theme this year, but if you have any great ideas or anything you want us to know about that sort of relates to cybersecurity awareness, how to teach people better, if you actually want to write a little guest diary about it, please let me know.